Just to start, I'm wondering if you can talk about some of your recent work that deals with music's relationship to space and architecture. You have done some recordings in abandoned buildings recently, and in a previous conversation, you talked about playing in the subways and on the streets and kind of the musicality and the relationship of music to public spaces. So talk about the way that you see music as related to the physical world around us, an urban environment.
Well, I'm very interested in the idea of music and improvisation as a social practice and how I can incorporate that into my own personal practice to interact with the environment. It's a constant trying to combine all of these things that I'm so interested in so that I can funnel them back through the saxophone. And this idea of environment and space and how even performing as a solo instrument, you're actually not performing as a soloist. You are duetting with what's going on. Sometimes you're playing in almost a symphony of sounds. I'm really interested in that. And I've been a street musician and subway musician for a pretty long time now, like, I don't know, seven or eight years now I've been doing that. And originally I was doing that just as a financial means, but it's now become very much a part of my personal practice because it allows me a level of interaction with spontaneity, an interaction with just the moment that I can't get sitting in a room by myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm very interested in that, and I've gotten really interested in, for lack of a better term, psychoacoustics and sound, the sounds of, you know, all these fancy things, you know, you can now do in like Pro Tools or GarageBand or all these things, or Audacity, that you can
computerize.
Yeah, sounds. That you can augment the sound, which I'm totally into those things. I find them interesting too, but I'm also interested in how it got to that point. Mm-hmm. And so doing these more kind of like natural performances in these natural spaces gives me more an idea of the sources of those sounds. Mm. So I'm really interested in that right now.
As a musician, you're celebrated in many countries. You performed all over the place, and you're kind of based in New York City.
Yeah.
But you still choose to play on the streets, in the subways. Why does that motivate you, or what's the reaction you get from people when you're playing in the subway?
Well, community outreach is something that's really important to me. And because I've done so much of it, I like the idea of community outreach that I can actually do on my own time when I want to give, not necessarily when I have to give, which is sometimes what happens if you do too much community outreach. I like knowing that I'm playing music for someone who walks by that may have had like one of the worst days of their lives, you know, or one of the best days of their lives, or the last day of their life. You know what I'm saying? I'm way too sentimental for my own good. It's a real problem, but I like how I can connect with people and sometimes connect with people in ways who don't want to hear it, you know, and getting the different sorts of reactions. And I specifically focus on, because I'm a Bach fanatic, and I'm like a closet Bach fanatic, just because that music allows me to work all over the saxophone, and I've gotten to a point where I almost feel like I have adult ADD, where I can only concentrate if I really have the focus in front of me.
Okay. You're a Bach fanatic. A lot of other people are Bach fanatics who perhaps aren't into improvisational jazz.
Yeah, which is really funny because Baroque music was an improvisatory music. All of those composers were also improvisers. I've been playing this music for a while now, and I'm still trying to learn it so that I can get to that point so that I can improvise off of a lot of that music. And it's just, a lot of it's really pretty sounding. So acoustically, in certain spaces that I play it in, especially in the subway, it's almost like playing in a cathedral half the time. It's really awesome.
For many people, when they think about celebrated improvisational jazz today, artists that tour the world, often we don't hear those types of discussions going on where the artist is really relating to the grassroots of society. Playing in the subways is one element, but your music has always had a rootedness in relating to social issues, your reflections on social issues in America specifically. Mm-hmm. So what relationship do you feel your music today has to, and the different musical projects you're involved in, has to America as a society today? It's a changing country in a changing world. And I asked you once before, you know, what is your relationship to America?
Yeah.
And we can talk about that at a grassroots level, and we can talk about that at the highest levels of office.
My relationship to America is getting a little bit more and more bizarre. And I'm having a lot of struggles with the idea of jazz and what that really means now, and if it's a word I even want to be attached to anymore. I'm trying to figure that out. But the more and more that I've become established in the States, the more I've been asked to do things in other countries. Mm-hmm. So like in the past year, I've spent more time outside of my country than inside of my country, which is thrilling and really interesting because I've always dreamed of having that kind of experience. But it also makes me see things a little differently.
Looking at your nation from the outside.
Yeah, looking at my nation from the outside. It gives me some head space to take it all in at my own, you know, my own level, my own pace, rather than having to take it in full on. Because even like being in New York post 9/11, it's a pretty traumatic time.
Yeah.
And still seeing, being around that and still seeing the residuals of that when something like I was in New York when the big blackout of 2004 happened. Mm-hmm. And even when that happened, it was still like 9/11 paranoia on a really high level. Mm-hmm. It's nice not to have to consider those things the more and more I spend time outside of that country.
Mm-hmm. This past year, you've been spending a lot of time outside, and it's a year of incredible, they talk about change, but certainly there is a lot of waves, you know, since the election of Obama, but more generally, at least on an international level, there's this perception that America's and American society is moving in different directions after Bush departed from the White House.
Yeah.
So how's it looking from the outside?
It's still looking kind of hopeful. I mean, like, I'm still really trying to process it. And sometimes I wish I would have been like Lydia Lunch, who left when Bush got elected. I don't know if she left the first time or the second time, but that's when she was like, I'm done, you know, to have the bravery in which to do that. And when I decide to spend the least time in my country is when the president of my country looks like my uncle. It's a weird little head trip. But at the same time, it's given me kind of a release and relief that, yeah, I can leave. Because the work that my family and generations before me, because my family's always been, in their own way, interested in social theory and community practice, that I can go somewhere. Their work has led up to this moment. The collective work of an entire nation has led up to this moment where I actually can, like, breathe a sigh of relief and go somewhere else for a little while if I want to. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, whoa, it's such a hopeful time. I should be there, you know, digging in and contributing as, but I think as an American musician playing my music in other countries, I am making a contribution of some kind. That's what I hope.
At this time, do you ever feel like a strange cultural ambassador to a new America?
The African-American experience is not something they've ever had to consider. When it is considered, it's considered only within art. And when it's considered within art, it's exoticized and kind of generalized in a way that can make me uncomfortable at times.
Okay.
So, but it's the same with me. Like, my spending time in other places, I'm getting to learn about other cultures and being exposed to things I never considered. Like Canada is very interesting to me in that I run across a lot of compassionate people who are talking about the Native Canadian issues and the Native Canadian youth, you know, all of these things that in New York City or Chicago or Boston, the cities that I've lived, I've never had to consider those ideas in quite the same way.
Back to your music as related to a history. Mm-hmm. We can talk about a history of struggle. We could talk about a history for dignified recognition, different ways to put it. But sometimes jazz is placed in a box.
Yes.
Your music is part of a broader context. Mm. Is that important for you?
I no longer have any urge to be any sort of representative of that lineage because I'm really going through some real struggles right now with my creativity and trying to dig. All of my work, everything that I've done up to this point has all been about digging inside of myself and kind of turning myself inside out and putting that on display in hopes that I can understand myself a little better. Mm-hmm. Because I want to continue doing what I'm doing for the remainder of my lifetime. And there are certain things about the way that lineage has moved, that has progressed, that is not comfortable to me. So a lot of my work, it's really all about exploring my history for the sake of trying to understand myself, not exploring my history for the sake of trying to make people feel bad or try to like brag or try to, you know, keep people in a certain time era. It's just, I'm trying to figure myself out, and art has always been the way I seem to be able to do it.
We talked before about Chicago.
Yeah.
And you're originally from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, maybe for people here, what are your reflections on that city, on Chicago at this time? There's been a lot of talk about Hyde Park. And
I used to live there.
So at this particular time in America, maybe what are some points about Chicago or history of Chicago specifically in relation to jazz and liberation that you would feel important to share with people?
Well, I think Chicago, first of all, I should say that one of the reasons I love Montreal so much is because it reminds me of Chicago. There's certain things about the pace and the energy that are very Chicago-like to me.
Really?
Which is interesting, one. And the history of Chicago on national and international level, in terms of where the country is at right now, really shows that change takes time. Because when Barack Obama first showed up in Chicago, and you know, Harold Washington was the mayor, and I was a kid, but my grandparents were so hardcore about Harold Washington. Like, it was very important to support him. And when Barack Obama first ran for Senate, they were very hardcore about Barack Obama. And, you know, Barack Obama lost that first time, right? And just showing that change within a community, I mean, this was at least, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago when they were, you know, talking so much about the process. And, you know, Chicago has a very tricky history regarding race and class and social issues. And it's a city that suffered and still is suffering in some ways. It's a very segregated city still. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about Hyde Park, which has come up in the news a lot, is it's very culturally interesting.
Okay.
It's a very interesting place to be because it's such a mixture of people. Mm. And I mean, the University of Chicago is problematic in that there have been ways in which they've shut out the community, and that's been an issue. Whenever you have an Ivy League institution, private institution, in the middle of a working class community, Yale, same thing, you know, all these places. And I've always had problems with that.
Mm.
But I've also seen the way that university has given back to the community.
Mm.
There's a richness there that if I ever lived in Chicago again, I would live no further south than Hyde Park.
You're spending time in Montreal these days.
Yes.
What do you feel about this city? This interview series, one of the themes is to look at Montreal as a global city.
Yeah.
So we can talk about cities as defined within nations,
mm-hmm.
but today Montreal, to a much larger extent, New York City is a global city.
Very much so.
In terms of who's living in the city, mm-hmm. but also just in terms of how the city functions and what the reference points are. The reference points even in Montreal today are spanning the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The cell phone messages are coming from every corner of the globe.
Yeah.
So in terms of Montreal as an international city, Maybe comment on your experience with it so far, and how has that impacted your music or any reflections you've had?
Well, I've had a really long history with this city, which I don't think a lot of people realize that. Like, I've been coming to this city for the last 8 or 9 years because of friendships and performance and recording opportunities, and now outreach work, educational outreach work that I've been asked to do here on more than one occasion. The very first time I visited here, I think, was like 2001. And literally, the friendships and the people that I was exposed to here and the ideas at that particular time completely flipped my thinking. I went back to the States and completely flipped around my whole game because I was exposed to something that was, there was like a certain feminist perspective I was getting here that I wasn't getting where I was in the States. There was just a certain sense of DIY that I was getting from here at that time than what I was getting in the States, and the power of the person to create change within their community. So I've always held Montreal in a really high regard with that. And New York City is a pressure cooker. It's inspiring.
Sure.
It's totally inspiring, but in a different way. Montreal, there's actually time to consider the inspiration rather than to just take it on and push it back out. Here, there's time to have conversations about process that I can't have in New York.
As a musician, you mean?
As a musician, as a composer, as a sound person. There are conversations I'm able to have here that I just have never been able to have in New York City with amongst my peers.
Musicians.
Yeah, musicians. Yeah. So Montreal is interesting to me because I have a history with people here that I've known for a really long time and have seen them really develop sounds and ideas that really touch me and have always touched me. I haven't yet made the music that I want to hear. So spending time in other places outside of where I'm used to, I think, is very helpful with that.
Trying to conjure an image.
Okay.
If you're standing on the edge of history.
Yes.
Looking backwards, imagining different important moments in history. Uh-huh. You can imagine sounds. You can imagine music. It's a lot of times when we think about meaningful moments in history in our lives or in generations or centuries before, often it's music that can conjure up at least a sense of the emotion of that moment, of that time, that perhaps we didn't live, but we can try to gather or understand the feeling of that moment. And the origins of jazz certainly are one of those moments, you know, looking back to those sounds to try to understand what was America going through at the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So in terms of your sound, what do you hope to leave? When people look back, or even when you look back at the earlier work that you've done and hear that music, what is that music expressing? You
know? I just hope that it expresses the possibilities of creativity and the possibilities of individuality within the creative voice. Because the real lineage of American jazz music that has gotten really lost is this idea of the individual voice within the collective voices. You know, just this this personalness in this time that we're living that's so impersonal. You know what I'm saying?